Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all here this morning. A sort of a bright and frosty morning, as we would call it in England, but there isn't really any frost, I know, but it's a beautiful, crisp morning, and you're all here, and we're all here, we think, and ready to enjoy a great service and a time of worship on a special day, because it's a birthday, but you'll hear more of that a bit later on. Now, we're going to begin our singing with Give Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. We did sing this a few weeks ago, so I hope this will come back to your mind now. And we're going to just go straight and sing it this morning. But it's a lovely tune, and it's a joyful tune. Give Thanks to the Lord.
Sunday. That's our church. Every year we have this opportunity to look back through the history of the church and to remember who we are. And this morning I want to go way, way back to where it all began at Pentecost, when a handful of men and women in the power of the Holy Spirit went out to become the church. It was the birth of the church and to spread God's love throughout the world. From that one place throughout the known world. And there was one united church of Jesus Christ. Jesus had told his disciples to stay united, to be one as he and his Father were one. But as Christ's church, as the Christian church, we just have not done that. Over the years, the church splintered and separated. But after centuries of disunity, of interdenominational rivalry, of religious bigotry, and I am so proud of this next thing I'm going to say, in Australia, at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a move in the other direction, away from disunity to unity. It took a long time to work it all out. But many denominations, over many decades, seriously explored the possibility of coming together. And I'm a little sad about this, but in the end, only a few could find a way through the issues that divided them to unite. It did take a long time to work it out. But finally, on the 22nd of June, 1977, that's 46 years ago next Thursday, the Methodist Church in Australia, most of the Presbyterian Church, and the Congregational Church joined together to form the Uniting Church in Australia, which is who you and I are today. And that, the fact that we are the ongoing Uniting Church in Australia, that is something to celebrate. And we do that this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice because you are with us, right here, right now, on this day so close to the 46th anniversary of our inauguration as the Uniting Church. Close to the date when we celebrate, as we celebrate now, who we are as your people of the Uniting Church. As your church, help us, O God, to live up to our early promise. Unite us in your love and set our hearts on fire with love for you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we celebrate today, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, you people. Worship the Lord with joy. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Come before him with songs of praise and worship the Lord. And we're going to do that right now as we sing together, joyful, joyful, we adore him. Passes all understanding, even in the midst of the storm. Let us worship God, the still centre of all life's storms. No matter what is going on for us, let us place all our hope and trust in him. Shall we pray? O God, we bring you now our sorrows, and our laughing, our doubt and our faith, our anxiety and our serenity. And when we do, you meet us here. You reassure us that in every life experience, we can trust you to journey with us and bring us safely through. Amen. The prayer of confession that we're going to use this morning comes from Australian Psalms. It's called The Still Centre. Shall we pray? When we want healing at the core of our being, we turn to you, O God, and we find you at the still centre of every storm. Sometimes our life seems a jumble of fragments. Nothing seems to match or fit together. We are lost, anxious, discouraged, alone. Peace and joy are like distant memories. At those times, our God, we find it hard. Self-giving becomes an impossible calling. Love shrinks into a four-letter word. Even our capacity to listen to others closes down. As we bring these prayers of confession, take a moment to listen to God in the silence, to hear what God is saying to you. Let's take that moment now. God, forgive us, we pray. Grow our trust in your care for us. Weave it into the fabric of our lives and free us to look outside ourselves and see the needs of others. Embrace our weakness, O God, with your strength, our brokenness with your wholeness, our fears and anxieties with your peace. In the name of Christ. Amen. Claim this great good news with thankful hearts. In Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And we sing then we sing with words that claim once more our belief that in the tough times in life, God is there for us. You are my hiding place.
peace that leads to each other. The shalom.
The peace that passes understanding. The peace that frees us from all the things that worry us and concern us, that cause us anxiety. So we're going to wish that peace to each other right now. The peace that is between us and God. The peace that passes understanding. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So hear it and say it. Jamie, the peace of the Lord be always with you. So now is the moment when we hear God's word to us.
The reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. In this we hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, would you like me to tell you what Australians worry about? Well, if you don't want me to tell you, I'm going to tell you anyway. And this is what it is. The Australia Talks National Survey in 2019 found these are the things that we worry about. Household debt, cost of living, drug and alcohol abuse, ageing population, environment, poverty, public transport infrastructure, wealth inequality, unemployment, healthcare, our treatment of Indigenous people, petrol prices, racism, international affairs, crime, population growth, gender equality, terrorism, not being able to afford a home. You know what? The things we worry about today, I know that was 4 years ago, but the things we worry about today are probably not very different, are they? I'm wondering what would be on your list. What would be your three top worries? Think about it for a minute. Just give you a second to do that. What do you really worry about? Even our kids worry. When primary school children were asked, what sort of things scare you? This is what they said. Not having friends, being ill, fire, problems at home, moving house, big dogs, the dark, the bogeyman, sharks and tigers. Fear, anxiety, worry is an almost universal emotion. In fact, One in six Australians, I don't know, this information shocked me, one in six Australians suffer from anxiety. That's 3.3 million of our fellow Australians, give or take a few. This morning, Jesus speaks to us through the passage Coralie just read to us about our worry, our fears, and he speaks two significant and interrelated, interconnected pieces of advice to us. He speaks it into our lives. He says, get your priorities right, get them straight, and don't worry. Which I suspect is easier said than done. Let's have a closer look at this passage. Jesus begins by saying you can't serve two masters. You can't give yourself over to compulsive anxiety, to fear of loss, to fear about future security, to fear of failure, all sorts of worries about material things and your possessions and the other things that dominate your life. You can do that. You can let them own you, but don't do it. If you do, then where will that place God in your list of priorities? Because wherever it is, it's not first. You can't be self-focused, consumed by your ears, and at the same time focus your life on Jesus, on God. And if you turn that around, when you focus your life on God, on Jesus, those other fears have less power over you. Because you mustn't construct an alternative God called fear or worry or stress or anxiety about the things of this world and put that up there alongside God. It has to be either one or the other. Serve two masters, Jesus says. So Jesus says, if you want to be Jesus' disciple, don't waste time worrying about your life. Instead, yearn for the kingdom of God. Focus on that first, because when you do that, everything else will fall into place and you will not need to worry, which is very good advice. Seek to be where God is and where God rules, because that is the kingdom of God. And if that is where we are, in God's kingdom, where God is and where God is in control, if you think about it, there's not much for you to worry about if God's in control. What is there to worry about? I am not telling you, do hear this, that in God's kingdom life will never be tough. Tragedies happen. Suffering is real. But in the midst of suffering and the tragedy, in God's kingdom, it is there that we find shalom, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace with which worry cannot coexist. The peace that you wish each other with at the end of every service. So that leaves us one big question. Why do we worry? When we know that, why do we worry? Because we do, don't we? Let's all be honest, we all, me and you, we all worry. We worry when we think we are alone in life. We worry when we think everything depends on us and we mustn't let whatever down. We worry when we think we have to take control to get our needs met. And we do not feel in control. we worry, when we do not trust that God will care for us and be there for us in every situation. Our worry and anxiety, when we think about it, is like a declaration that we believe that if we don't take care of our own concerns, nobody else will do it. And Jesus asks us, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our concerns, to believe something different. He asks us to strive for God's kingdom first. For God's kingdom first. And he asks us to do that because of that is where God is in control. The congregation treasurer, not the congregation of our, not the treasurer of our congregation, I'm not talking about you, okay, was discussing her concerns about the congregation's financial situation with the minister. The minister sighed and said, well, I suppose we should pray about it. Oh no, said the treasurer in consternation. Has it actually come to that? If God is in the first place in our lives, it doesn't come to that. It comes from that. It comes from it. Is to involve God in the thinking and the planning and the decision making and the action and the outcome for everything. In every part of our life. In every part of our congregation, yours and mine. So put it simply, if you get your priorities right, if you put God first, everything else will ultimately fall into place. I'm going to be pragmatic about this, because however much we worry about tomorrow and tomorrow's problem, that won't change the outcome, will it? All our worrying about tomorrow or what might happen next week or what we've got to do, that's not going to change anything. And Jesus tells us clearly, don't waste time doing that, because it's profitless, it gets you nowhere. The big question we have is this. How can Jesus expect us not to be anxious when things go wrong for us? Especially when things go wrong for us in a big way. That's our question, isn't it? When the mortgage skyrockets, when we have a serious health problem, when we have an accident in our car, you can think of a whole lot of things. But you know, that's exactly what Jesus is asking us to rethink. And Jesus is not saying, be responsible. He is not saying, ignore consequences. Do be responsible. Have a risk management plan for your life to minimise risk and danger and disaster and follow it. But when you have done that, you have done all that you can do. And you can relax. Take a breath in and let it go. You've done all that you can do and relax when you know that you have a Heavenly Father who cares for you. Jesus makes this point in such detail. He says it's so clearly, he uses a lot of words to make sure we understand. God lovingly created the grass and the flowers and clothes them beautifully. God lovingly created the birds and provides for them all that they need, not because they've earned it, but just because God chose to do it. How much more, Jesus, will God care for your needs? to live a human life in Jesus, to die a human death for our faith. God who rose again, that what we might rise with him to eternal life. God who claims us in Jesus Christ as his own sons and daughters. How much more will God care for our needs? And if you don't believe that, of course you will be anxious in the tough times. If you don't trust God, of course you will worry about the little things and the big things. If you feel it's up to you to take care of your needs, you will not be able to relax and stop worrying. Until you come to the realization that God loves you, loves you, and that he will take care of you in every worry will always own you if you let it. I'll tell you a story about a little boy. His mum was really worried about him because he just kept doing wrong things. He kept getting into trouble. And she thought, I'll go and ask the minister for some help. So the minister said, well, I'll talk with him. Send him along to me. And the minister was thinking, if you know God's always there, watching what he's doing, that will probably deter him from doing some of the things that he's doing. So the little boy went into the minister's office, and the minister said, where is God? The little boy looked a bit puzzled. So the minister thought, I'm the one that I'll say it again. And he said a little bit louder, where is God? The little boy's looking a little bit scared now. And the minister thinks, I'm getting through here. And so he says really loudly, where is God? The little boy shot him a terrified glance. He turned to her. He ran home as fast as he could and he said, Mum, God's gone missing and I think I took him. That is a very silly story. But sometimes in our lives we do feel as if God's gone missing. We just can't find God in the midst of it. We know we need God, but somehow God doesn't seem to be there. And it is right then that we get anxious, that we worry. We wake up in the night and worry about our finances, our health, our children, our friends and family members, the state of the nation, the state of the world, the foolish or sometimes even disastrous mistakes we have made. We toss and turn, and both sleep and God seem very far away. And we've lost our grasp in that moment on God's kingdom, the place where God is and where God is in control. Long, long ago, God's people felt like that when they were in exile in Babylon. They felt cut off from their land and their God. They thought that God had forgotten them, had abandoned them, that God had gone missing. And sometimes I think we feel like that too, when our world seems to be falling apart around us. We forget in that moment. But in the midst of their fears of abandonment, God spoke to his people, the people in exile, through the prophet Isaiah. God promised to bring them safely home to Israel again. God said to them, how can you even think that I could forget you? I have inscribed you, written you indelibly on the palms of my hand. And this is what I hear God saying in that. Hold your hands up in front of you like this. What is right in front of your eyes? If you have something written on the palm of your hand, if you have somebody's name or a telephone number or God loves me or something like that, it would be right in front of your face, wouldn't it? Every time, and that's what this passage is saying. God's got his people inscribed on the palms of his hand, right in front of his face, all the time. You are on and in my loving hands, God. God says. And God says the same to us here and now. Jesus is God's covenant promise to us. God's sign to you and me that he has not forgotten us. God's love for you is inscribed in the nail prints in Jesus' hand. You are a child of God. You are always placed. You are always in God's loving hands. And remembering that, please do not let worry consume you. Instead, hold tight to God, knowing that God is holding tight to you. Last week we heard that solid foundations are important, and the most secure foundation on which to build our lives and our congregation is Jesus and his teaching. The way James puts it, or the way the writer of James' epistle puts it, is we need faith and works together, going hand in hand. Faith, works, hand in hand. And now today, Jesus reminds us we don't need to be anxious. Not about anything. He urges us to get our priorities straight and to trust God is in control and stop worrying. So on your checklist of things that you know and that are true, those are some things that you can pick up. Jesus is the foundation of my life. Jesus' teaching are the foundation of my life. We can trust God with everything, and we need not be concerned. And so Jesus urges us to get our priorities straight, to trust that God is in control, and he urges us to stop worrying. When you put those messages together, with solid foundations on the one hand, and trust that God has our future in his hands on the other, we absolutely do not need to be anxious about our future, to be anxious about anything. And you can claim that assurance for yourself right now. As we sing Great is Your Faithfulness, don't just sing those words. Let them remind you that God is the one and only one who will never, ever let you down. Believe those words and claim them for yourself. Amen.
Thank you.
generous God, when we remember your great gift to us, we respond to your goodness and your generosity with these our gifts to you. We remember Jesus. We remember the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that takes our worries and our concerns. And holds us and assures us that we do not need to be afraid. Take our gifts, O God. These gifts of money and our lives, and use both to grow your kingdom. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Everyone who is listening at home. Our weekly activities are ongoing this week. Quarterbacks at 10 and Bible study at 9, and then our meeting in the minister's office. Touchstones at 1:30, Mahjong on Friday at 10, and don't forget Refresh Shop is open each morning from 9 to 12:30. And we still are looking for more volunteers. From next week, office hours will be varied for the following 2 weeks. Apologies for any inconvenience caused. And ours will return to the usual Wednesday and Thursday on the 6th and 7th of July. And of course, we continue to pray for all those people who are sick or frail. And Women's Refuge, I'm hoping they'll be picked up on Wednesday morning early. Okay, that's all today. Thank you.
Join with me, please, in the prayers for ourselves and others. Heavenly Father, we thank you for warm clothes and hot food on these chilly mornings. We are glad for bright skies and noisy birds to cheer our days. But we're also glad that nearing the shortest day this week means longer daylight, pushing the dark back each day. And then we remember those who are sleeping rough in cars and on park benches, or who can't afford to turn their heating on inside draughty rooms, especially those with children. Bless all those wonderful organisations trying to make their lives easier. Thank you for those young people who started the Orange Sky Group, offering hot showers and rissoles on a barbecue, and most precious of all, being treated with dignity, having conversation with the volunteers. We thank you for those in this congregation who in the past have manned the coffee vans parked in the streets where homeless people gather, and knitted beanies, or supported such vital work in their own ways. We ask that you bless those politicians trying to make more housing possible. May this not be just a whim of this time, but may they give consistent attention to genuine policy changes to make a real difference to the 20% of Australians who live on the poverty line. With COVID still hovering around us and economic uncertainties and wars and rumours of wars unnerving us, even if we have physical comforts, we often feel life is becoming something we can't grasp or recognise. We know that change is about growth, and we are grateful for new stages to absorb and extend us. We love watching babies take first steps, gawky young teenagers growing into brave and confident adults. We know that change is essential, But sometimes, Lord, we just feel we need a rest. And here we are again, Lord, for the fourth time in 15 years, searching for a new minister to partner with us in wrestling with the challenges of being your servants in times of rapid change. Help us to be willing to adapt to these changes and have faith to explore the fresh plans you have for us. Remind us that to tackle great change, we need to find places and relationships where we can relax and be refreshed to get up and try again. Thank you for this church community where we can strengthen each other when we are feeling low. Thank you also for the opportunity to share that care and strength with people in the community whom we meet in the groups here, even just by a friendly chat as they come into refreshed or to drop children or go to Mahjong or Pilates. In this last week, we have heard of so many people affected by devastating change when the bus taking guests from a happy wedding overturned, leaving families and groups facing losses of loved ones and also the long recovery facing those injured. Wrap your arms around them, Lord, and help them to keep going each hard day. Bless also the first responders and medical staff who are dealing with their care, that they may find their... This week especially, we thank you for the Uniting Church, which has tried so hard to change into a church that does bring your message to a new generation. We're sorry for where we have contributed to its many shortcomings, but we thank you that our church has opened up to a great diversity of people. Help us all be willing to look for fresh ways to be a servant church. May we shrug off the prejudices and judgments that we've brought from the past and look for your presence in every person we meet. We ask these things in Christ's name, and now say together the prayer he taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And now I'm going to ask you to stand if you are able, and to join me in a statement of faith that's adapted from the basis of Union of the Uniting Church. A reminder of who we are as God's Uniting Church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We proclaim Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one, confessing him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we have claimed Jesus as the head of church, the head over all things, the beginning of a new creation. We acknowledge that we live and work between the time of Christ's death and resurrection and the final consummation of all things which he will bring. We are a pilgrim people, always on the way towards a promised goal. On the way Christ leads us with words and sacraments, and we have the gift of the Spirit in order that we might not lose the way. We live and work in the faith and unity of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, bearing witness to that unity which is both Christ's gift and his will. That is what we believe. Don't come down because we've said that's a thing. You know, just to introduce the song, when the Uniting Church was formed, we placed our lives and our future as a church in God's hands, and God calls us to do the same today. To believe that our lives and our future as individuals and a congregation are safe with God. To trust that God has a long and flourishing future planned for us that cannot be Uniting Church. That God gives us a future, and that's exactly what we're going to see. Until we meet here again, and then for all.